Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann, a listener-supported program. This is another moment of kind of a topical stream of consciousness stemming from the thoughts I've had since releasing the piece earlier this week about a permaculture world. Go back 2 episodes and check that out if you haven't already. During that previous show, I mentioned that if one has the means, they should invest in the things they believe in so that others might do the same. At the time, my focus was more on material goods. This time around, I want to take that a bit further and look at spending our money and time, if we have extra of either, to invest in non-material things we believe in from this wide, wonderful world we find ourselves inhabiting in this moment in time. Whether you're listening to this when it's released or years down the road, I think many of these ideas still apply. And I'd like to give credit where credit is due, as there are quite a few people in the permaculture community from past interviews that pushed my thinking and asking why it's so important to use investing, not only in material things, but also ourselves and others, as a way to build a better world. Some of those that come to mind, and I'll reference here in a second, are Ben Falk, Bob Tice, Dave Jackie, and Ethan Hughes. A lot of this began when I was reading Ben Falk's book, The Resilient Farm and Homestead. When first flipping through the pages, I landed on a section where he mentioned having a slate roof and copper gutters because of how long they would last, and that paying for them up front became an investment in the future because those materials would last more than a human lifetime. At first, it was hard to consider justifying that monetary cost to someone, to recommend, in my mind, that they install a slate roof or a copper gutter if they are able, as one of my ongoing considerations is about how to get the idea of permaculture, and with that natural building, home renovation and construction and so on, into the hands of those who need it the most. But as I sat and chewed on that thought for a while, it became that, really, if one has the means, this is a good way to spend your money, because it does ultimately cost less over the long run. And as I was getting through these thoughts was the same time when I was editing the second interview with Bob Tice, which came out just before this piece. So go back 1 show and listen to that too, if you haven't already. Anyway, Bob and I spoke about standing seam metal roofing, its lifespan, and that the steel can be recycled at the end of the roof's usefulness. As I'm in the process of replacing the roof on my own home, I've gotten to see some of these numbers up front. And Ben and Bob are both right. If we're able to step back and take this long view, it makes sense to use this material. Once it's done, that roof will outlast me if I stay in this home and still provide solid protection for the next owner. But if you're going to do this, you still need the means to make it happen. Fortunately, my family in this moment can do that rather than being forced to make a cheaper choice because we don't have the funds to be able to do so. I'll admit, it's at the limits of what we can afford, but because this idea of building a better world now and ultimately leaving a better world for the next generation matters to me, I don't know that I really have another choice. It is the right choice for me to make. I'd rather do this than put those asphalt shingles back up. And by making this decision and understanding the short-term trade-offs for my family and my, perhaps incorrect, understanding of the way markets are supposed to work, by doing this, my family directly helps, in our own small way, to keep the roofers with the necessary skills to install these materials in business, as well as the manufacturers. There's a long string of people who benefit by deciding to do this. And there are ancillary benefits of, hopefully, helping to lower or keep the price down of this product by creating demand for it, so that later, when others follow this road behind us, they're able to make this investment. That last part about considering all the people that making just one decision like this can benefit reminds me of the conversation with Dave Jackie, which, as I've heard from many of you, was one of your favorite episodes because of his openness, honesty, and candor. But when he spoke about building the larger structures that are necessary to make permaculture happen, to really build a better world, we kind of got to take action to network, communicate, and lend our aid when and where possible. That whatever form of capital we're able to, we're getting it out there. That we are, as I often quote from Ethan Hughes, meeting people where they're at, helping them meet their needs in a way that doesn't inflict ourselves upon them. But also from Ethan Hughes, to recognize the impact we can make by deciding to put our money and time where it matters to us. That moment in the interview with Ethan where he tells the story about being in a room with a bunch of other permaculture folks and they tally up their net worth and find out that there's millions of dollars in that room really stuck with me. And that we can, all by giving a little bit of ourselves and making the decision, making that active choice to invest in what matters to us, ensure that we have a bigger impact in the world than we could imagine. And all that leads to this final part about the non-material pieces of the puzzle that we need to find and help out. And I know that there are a lot of projects out there that need us to get off the ground and to flourish. You have ones, I'm sure, that are important to you that you'd like to see people help you with. I know that I have mine. There are two at the moment beyond the podcast that I'm putting my efforts into. One is my friends Will and Ben's project, Restoring Eden, where they want to have the space and resources to investigate and report back to the permaculture community on tending the wild in Zone 4 and how that can be a viable business opportunity for people. And I think that for the small amount of money that they are trying to raise, the broad benefits that it would provide back for other people then who can use what they share with us and their model to create other functional, sustainable permaculture businesses. As I'm putting this together, they have less than 2 weeks left in their campaign and have a bit of a ways to go before they get where they're going. So if you can, stop over and see if one of their donation levels is something that works for you. And so you know, I do have a stake in this one, having pledged my own funds to the project so that I can have a copy of their book and share it with you and review it whenever it's done. You can find out about their project by going to kickstarter.com and searching for Restoring Eden, or via the link in the resources of the show notes. Something else that was brought to my attention was the Molina Center, because their executive director, David Pittman, contacted me. David Pittman and the Molina Center are looking to use permaculture as a way to assist at-risk youth. They want to build a center where young people can come, learn about permaculture and business practices, and leave with real skills and tools for their future. Though the website for the Molina Center is still in development and needs some information to clarify a lot of the path ahead of them, I did call Mr. Pittman as a follow-up to some of the information he sent me, and I was happy to find that he was completely transparent about the state of everything at the center, his qualifications and background, which includes music therapy, the research that they're doing, which is being handled by one of their staff members who's a PhD candidate, and generally just answered any questions I had about what they're doing, including their 501c3 status as a nonprofit. He even went so far as to send me copies of those documents showing that they're a 501c3. So even though they might not be very far along, everything that I've seen so far looks to be in line with their mission, and they are following through with the offer to be open and honest along the way. Though I don't have the same stake in this, and I feel that before anyone invests in any project, they need to make their own decisions. So I'm sharing ones that matter to me, but I do ask that you do your own research and make your own decisions before you take action. Projects like this are important because of what it adds to the literature of how we can apply permaculture to other systems and structures. I won't call permaculture a design system for everything, but as I'm learning from my friend and listener, the philosopher, who, for his privacy, I'll call David B., PhD, there are some philosophical underpinnings that cast a wide net across the whole of human experience. And the Molina Center's project also bears personal meaning to me in my role as a father, and knowing what a difference meaningful mentors had on me as a child and as a teenager. And also in my non-permaculture life, if there really is such a thing, as a friend to some people here in Pennsylvania who run a nonprofit called the Bodana Group that benefits children who are victims of abuse. Because I want to live in a more peaceful world, and I want to build a world that is better for the next generation, projects like this that help to take care of kids, they matter to me. And you'll find a link in the show notes for the Molina Center, their Indiegogo campaign, and a link to my friends at the Bodana Group if you'd like to learn more. I mean, you know, in the end, this stuff really does matter to me. I don't sit here in this basement office where it's a little chilly right now, with no windows and not a lot of interaction with other people, for kicks. I do it because I really care and it matters to me. It's not some lip service. And I know there are projects and people who you know that matter to you, and places where you step up and donate your time and money. And I want to know about those projects and groups which you find important, the ones you support, the ones that could benefit from reaching a larger audience and the broader permaculture community, so that we can let other listeners know about them. And look, I don't mean this as some kind of like a sales pitch where I'm asking you to put up money for everything that makes it onto your radar, but rather just that you recognize that though we might not have the financial capital to share, we have other ways to help those people and projects that resonate with us. We can share what's happening in the world with our social circles via social media, in person, when we go to a party, or if we live near a project by donating our time and skills. Every time that I interview someone for this show, it's important to me for you to hear as many voices and ideas as possible so you can find someone who you might not have heard of, who you can connect with. And the same goes with other projects and people like this who are making a difference in the world. And more personally, for each of you, as David Holmgren spoke to that idea of exploring a niche and becoming a master of several different areas in our own lives, if we all dig in and dig in deep within ourselves, we can find ways that we can make the biggest impact on the world with our skills and who we are. But if we never hear about those who could use our help, we can't help them. So please, let me know about any projects you're aware of so I can share them with others. Send me an email, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. Call me, 717-827-6266. Leave a note on the Facebook page for the show, facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. Or if you're a tweeter, send me one. I am @permaculturecst. And because I'm thinking about the ways we can help others with our capital, please check out 8 Forms of Capital by Ethan Rowland and Gregory Landwa. You'll find a link to that also in the resources section of the show notes. There's a lot of good material in that article to think about when it comes to building the socioeconomic structures required to make permaculture flourish in the world in which we live. If we all take action and work together, we really can design and build a better world. Until the next time, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other, and the legal. The Permaculture Podcast is released under Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Non-Commercial License. Feel free to share it wherever and however you'd like. Just let other folks know where you got it from, and don't change or sell it.